listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, what is it, September 6th, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly is also with us, producing behind the scenes and sometimes in front of the scenes.
Hello, everybody. Always happy to be here.
It's good to see those with us joining us live. We also welcome those listening to the archives. Good to have you all. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our nine abbreviated principles of belief, as is customary, to get us started off. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. You can read the expanded version of these 9 principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight, we're going to start off here in a few minutes with our 5-card pull from the Inner Oracle card deck, which we do occasionally. I just wanted to make a comment or two on the upcoming hurricane, which is going to hit Florida soon. Okay, not really soon, but in a couple of days. And anyway, so those of you who may live in the target area, be sure to be safe, take precautions, whatever you need, and just, you know, be sensible about it. I mean, if you live in Florida, it's likely you've been through a hurricane before. It may not. I don't know. I haven't actually been through one, even though I've been here 20 years. The one that came, Hurricane Charlie, back in 04, I was actually in Boise, Idaho, doing a seminar. The rest of the family weathered it, and it was a Category 4, so we'll be fine. We're on the west coast of Florida, just south of Sarasota, so it shouldn't, it doesn't look like we're going to get the brunt of it, unless it decides to radically change directions. But if you're in the area, just be safe, you know, and I'm sure hopefully everybody will weather this storm well. All right, so let's do a 5-card pull, Dr. Hunter, and it's up to you whether you want to do them all at once or in succession.
Well, I just pulled our first card, number 15. Belief system, knowledge base. I'll read it here. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. So that would start us off tonight.
Interesting.
And of course, everything is based on belief systems. And our second card is number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness, Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. So, you know, we're off to a start about belief systems and, you know, it's the higher self, the cosmos. So, interesting. We're all, like, it's more that we are more than just our belief systems, obviously. Now, our third card is number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. In other words, don't be judgmental. That's kind of tough sometimes. We all know that. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card may refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. Okay, just a little replay here. Belief system and knowledge.
Spirit, you pulled that cause, twice?
No, I'm
oh,
just...
Oh, I see, them. You read. Okay, got you, summing them up.
It's spirit, cosmos, divine energy, and relationships. It seems like these cards are getting grounded and reminding us of something here. I think there's a story afoot. Ah, greatness to deliver, number 30. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my page flipped. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and it does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what's common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember your value. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. I think there's a story afoot here.
What do you think it is?
Well, I think this is a really powerful reminder about we are interconnected at many levels. That's my interpretation of this. We're more than the sum of our belief systems. We're interdependent in our higher, you know, relationship with our higher selves. We're all about building, hopefully, win-win, you know, relationships and reminding us that each of us has some kind of, let's say, purpose, perhaps, in our greatness to deliver. And this last card, to me, kind of ties it all together, which is number 42, excuse me, 42, trust, integrity. Integrity means to be true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself. So I think these five cards together, in my view, tell a story of we're more than what we believe. It reminds us of our spiritual self. That's what I'm thinking. And that the greatest relationship is with yourself. Remember your greatness to deliver and always, above all, always trust yourself and maintain your integrity. That's the way I read that. Dr. Kelly?
Yep. Those are excellent points, and they're apropos based on some comments in the chat room. And that's the thing, you know, there's a comment in the chat room about people at work avoiding this person and not accepting her and so forth, and you know, that can be rough at times, and it kind of follows what we're talking about here with this five card snapshot as far as It's not nice. You know, we've talked about so many times in this program, just be nice to people. And of course, the reason why they don't accept her is because she doesn't get involved in gossip and all the, you know, cruddy things that go on in the office, which is probably a great compliment to her, if you ask me. But, she's already got a good attitude, you know, she's all she needs and, you know, but then again, to keep things in balance, yeah, it's nice to have lunch now and then with somebody and have a good relationship with them. I mean, we are social creatures, but the best thing, and not to let it get you down, just keep doing your best. Know that this too shall pass. Things change and you'll get what you want in due time.
You know, what I find that all of our relationships are limited in the experience they're meant to be. In a work type of environment, it's like throwing a whole pool of people together and say, here, get along and do work and we'll pay you. You know?
Yeah.
And that's a really tough number. I don't think employers ever really consider, you know, about the dynamic or interdynamic, you know, of a workplace. But here's the way I see it. If you're just extending a little part of yourself when you go to work, and I know you really want to make friends and you want to make it your social entity, but I think that's a mistake. I think that that's our biggest error and why we're always disappointed. In the workplace, you're there to get paid for a job. And hopefully, excuse me, you get along with people and maybe you bond with a couple of people, and that might be nice to have some kind of limited socializing. But your greatest authentic relationships will be the ones that you choose. You know, the ones that may extend beyond the workplace, but it's more about your friends, the people that, you know, the relationships that you cultivate outside that relationship, if I may say that. You know, especially office pools, oh, it's very difficult. So just, you know, if you can, as objectively as possible, see it for what it is, extend the part of yourself that's required, and realize that's just a little slice of your personality.
Good points. All right, so if you're in the chat room listening to this live and you have a question on anything, you'd like some feedback, please post it in the chat room right away. If you would like a card pulled for you tonight, please put your name in the chat room. We're going to just kind of go with the flow here and address the needs that come up, so to speak. And if there are no needs, then we'll pull some more cards and see what comes out of the deck there. So,
you know, there's a comment in the chat about how in the workplace, some others tried to sabotage her in the workplace. And that's a rough go. I would like to remind people that everyone has their own agenda, if you will. You know, it's like you have to watch that. And if you can understand it, kind of observe where people are coming from and what they want and what they need, then you'll see more of what they're capable of. So I often say it's like playing chess. You know, and it's not, if you're always on the defense, you're always going to feel low and hard on yourself. So, and I'm not saying offense in a bad way, but offense in a proactive, assertive way, and mind your business and just do the best you can.
You know, I'll share an experience that I had some years ago. In fact, it was pretty much the last place I worked for hire. I've been mostly self-employed for most of my adult life, but there was about a year or so I took a job as a speaker for financial software, and I was, what was I at the time? I was like 40, 41, right in there. So it was like, what, 3 years ago? Do you believe that? I wouldn't believe that. So anyway, but I worked there for about a year, and my colleagues were all much younger. They were in their probably mid-20s up to mid-30s. And, you know, I was this, quote, old guy, unquote, at 40, 41, whatever it was. And, you know, there was never a good connection. I'm sure they all thought poorly of me and talked about me behind my back. But, you know, I understand it doesn't feel good, but through that whole process, all I could think of was, you know what, youngins, you don't know anything yet. You haven't been there, done that. I have, you know, frankly, by that time in my life, I'd lost everything. So what are you going to take from me? Nothing. There's nothing you can take from me because I don't need anything from you. That was kind of my attitude. I was kind to them. I was nice to them. but I didn't take personally anything they said or thought, you know, because they don't know me. They don't know my background. They don't know my plight. They don't know anything about me. And so whatever. And I'm just, frankly, I left them after about a year, and that's one of the best decisions I ever made. And I don't look back on it terribly fondly, and I would never want to do it again, but I understand. But you have to have that self-completeness, that self-confidence that people can think what they want. And there are plenty of people who from my past, you know, from my past religious days, who were my friends and all that, who think poorly of me. They think I left them and all that. But the fact is that I evolved and they didn't. And it's unfortunate and I miss them, but I evolved and they didn't. I moved on and they didn't. That's what I do.
Ah, you know, it's all powerful stuff. I mean, you're just making me swim with stories now. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, each of us has a story. We all have our experiences in that way. I do know that Fran would like a card, and I'm going to ask Michael if he's up for it to, you know, give us a hand here. Do you want to pull a card for Fran,
Michael? Oh, I'm always happy to help. And I do happen to have my cards right here, so
I'm going to pull. Awesome.
Middle of the deck this time, and this is perfect. It's wild card number 8, freedom.
Whoa, good one.
All right. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for the present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants to within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Doesn't that fit really well with the cards? Because we're talking about freedom. It's part of the threat.
Yeah. You know, I would like everybody to stop and think about that for a moment. A free and sovereign being of the universe. And this is who you are before you're, let's say, a Canadian or an American or anything like that. You are a free and sovereign being of the universe who happens to live in a certain place, who happens to do something for a particular earning or living. It's just to remember that, you know, I am a free and sovereign being of the universe. It gives you all the empowerment you need in that statement. That's my little speech for the moment. I'm sure there's more to come. Okay, we have Star next. I am going to number 37, Star, groundedness. It's a good one.
Yep.
Remain grounded by looking for evidence. For evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against the facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all the facts or you have more facts to uncover. You know, you adjust your opinions when new facts are found. And I always say we reserve the right to hold back any kind of an opinion because we don't have, and that's where it's really important to listen to your intuition. So if you say, especially if you're backed in a corner, you know, or you're in a conversation, best to stay silent for a moment, listen, or ask the questions that would give you more information so that you can, you know, feel more confident in what you think. And even then, it's fair to say, you know, I need to do more research on this and I'll get back to you. So that's what really comes to my mind, Star. I hope that helps.
Let me add to this, too, on a slightly different track as far as freedom or groundedness, rather. That's when we're on groundedness. You know, one of the things that comes up from time to time among students especially is those who have emerging psychic gifts. And a lot of times when they come to us as a student, they're ready for change in their life. They're usually in their, usually, not always, but usually in their 30s, 40s, 50s even, and older. And but one of the things that comes up is when they have their emerging psychic gifts and they're not quite sure how to manage them. And so they'll get images and they'll hear things, you know, from, you know, their name or whatever, and they're not sure what to make of it. And then a lot of times there'll be some spirit like an archangel or, you know, some heavenly being or whatever. And a lot of this revolves around their belief system too, especially if they were religiously brought up. And so they'll be basically taken from, you know, be pulled from one direction to another, not quite sure how to manage it or what to make of it. Is it real? You know, do I have to pay attention or should I pay attention? What does it mean? They might get symbols that they've never seen or don't recall seeing and don't know what to make of them and all that. And so one of the pieces of advice I give to them is, in so many words, is to remain grounded. Keep your feet on the ground, your head on your shoulders. Psychic gifts are no different really than any other gifts we may have. Some people are gifted at this and that and the other thing, and with those with psychic gifts, they're gifted with that. And here's the thing. Just because you have an impression, just because you see an image or hear your name called, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And so we have to maintain that freedom to be us. And if we don't know what to make of it, we don't know what to make of it, therefore let it go, release it, because it may mean nothing. And then kind of attached to this, in the same line of thinking, they might have other things happen, you know, cupboard doors open, or this is common. I mean, they'll have things moved from one. I mean, I've heard it so many times. And so my advice is to be firm. Know who you are, why you are who you are. If a spirit is trying to contact you and they're leaving your cupboard doors open, you know, what does that mean? I mean, I could come up with 1,000 scenarios as to what message they're trying to send me. Stop opening my cupboards. I don't go to your place and open your cupboards. You don't come to mine and open my cupboards. If you've got something you want to say, say it. And so you have to maintain the balance. You don't want the tail wagging the dog. If you have emerging psychic gifts, you have to manage them. And don't just buy into any image or impression or voice or anything you hear or see, because it may not mean anything. If you're psychic, you're tapped into the Akashic record in one way or another. And you might see or hear things, so fine. They may mean nothing. You may just be, it might be listening, like listening to the radio. You're not, you know, the radio's on in the background. You may catch a word or a phrase, a particular song you remember, whatever, or don't remember. It doesn't mean anything. Just a few words on that.
Or it might mean something and the jury's out. You need
exactly.
More information.
Thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that a few minutes ago, because you might need more data. And even then, if you have no reference point for it, then what are you going to make of it? You know, it's like, I've never seen that before. I have no idea what to make of it. All right, note it, move on.
I think that is the thing that we want, absolutes. We want an absolute answer for any kind of experience, so we don't feel like we're losing control. And so we try to control what we learned. And I tell you, the greatest freedom moment is when you don't have to. You know, it's like, oh, that's new. I have no file for that, but I'm going to observe this. And it just frees you up. And then it's kind of like defragmenting your own hard drive.
Yeah.
And you'll toss out what you don't need anymore. You'll add more information, and it's just a journey of continual learning without trying to control it. So that's the only thing I can add to that at the moment.
Good points.
Okay, Michael, help us out there with Tabitha, please.
If Michael's still with us.
Okay.
Why don't you pull
I'm sorry. Can you?
Yeah.
This is Tabitha.
All right.
Yes.
I'm live. All right, Dr. Tabitha, I pulled number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, that falls right in with Perfect. Everything we've just been talking about. It's open mind. You know, and that's the thing I said a lot of times. We're open-minded. Just don't be so open-minded your brains fall out. Use critical thinking. Assess things. And this lends itself to emerging psychic gifts as well. We have to still maintain our head about things. And if we never want to, in any sense, symbolically or literally, prostrate ourselves to any other being. There's no enlightened being that's going to ask you or, demand of you to serve them in some way, to worship them in some way. And a lot of folks tend to give that worshipfulness to what they determine to be more evolved, advanced beings. Here's the thing. A lot of people say, we need to be part of something greater than ourselves. Well, there is nothing greater in terms of significance than ourselves. We are all equal. I don't care if you're human, spirit, angel, alien. Everybody's at their different paths and their journeys, regardless of what form you take. But everybody's equal, and so we can ask advice of mentors that we may have. I mean, if you're psychic and you have a spirit advisor, aka spirit guide, I don't call them that because I guide me, and if I could ask advice though, and take it or not, and so. Regardless of who they are, we're all equal, and we're trying to make our way. We're trying to live our lives, walk our paths, learn our lessons, and evolve. And so but we maintain an open mind, but we also remain grounded.
There's a comment in the chat about an anniversary, and that they had made a post on Facebook about God first and husband, wife second. And of course, this individual, I'm not going to say it for the archives, but if you're watching the chat, you know who you are. Having to bite your tongue and wear a straitjacket and want to say something, but it could be wrong. It would be wrong. So I think you already know that. And you added here, as bad as it bugs you, they probably feel the same way about your beliefs. But I would like to add a comment. There are many religions that put Jesus first. Mormons, there's the Brides of Christ, and you're married to Christ before. Sorry?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
And Jehovah's Witnesses. And, it's to put that other first. And I tell you, I have reduced it to one simple word. They're afraid. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of the afterlife, afraid of not doing the right thing, afraid of being important. That's huge. People don't want to be important. They want to have self-importance and importance in the world, but they feel this tremendous fear and apprehension to just know that you're important to yourself. And I can't tell you the numbers of times that I have come across folks in this discussion in my life and in my work is if you say, I love myself and I love my life, and I'm the most important human being I know and the most interesting human being I know, I have had some really profound responses to that. Well, Vicki, I don't think you've met enough people.
That's funny.
And I say, no, the problem is I've met too many. because that's the relationship with the self. And when people put something or someone outside the self first, you're depriving yourself, but you're depriving other people of your greatest potential. It's a very limiting experience. It means I can love you, but I can only love you this much because I am bound by my fear and my lack of understanding myself, and I can only love you in the context that I know. That's perfectly normal for any human being, but it's a very limited love and a very limited experience. And if anything, I I feel sorry for people when they are like that. And that's a lend of not, it's more like a compassion and a sensitivity. And yeah, there's a part of me that says, boy, that's kind of stupid. But again, I'm sure they think I'm stupid because I believe in aliens and spirits. So fair enough. We go both ways. We're all human beings just trying to figure it out. And if that's the way people are figuring out and they have to go through that passage first, so be it. Because we're all going to be in the same place. We're all going to end up in the same place like it is. And Michael said it earlier in the chat, one race and one destiny. That's what we are. So it's all the same thing. So if we can put the belief systems aside, which is really tough sometimes, and just let them be in whatever place they are, and as long as it's not imposing, because we all know the nine principles, we all know our basic ethics, and not imposing on other people, and don't let them impose on you. It's those boundaries, and if we just follow some very simple rules for our lives and our conduct, then we won't get into great conflict. If people want to push you around, you just back up and walk away. As simple as that.
All right, I want to comment on that too, but before I do, I want to say if anybody else would like a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room right now, and we'll get to it in just a sec. I wanted to comment on the fear thing. Of course, when I was a Jehovah's Witness, and their way of saying it is one of Jehovah's Witnesses, I just say it loosely now. But, we didn't put Jesus first because we didn't believe Jesus. We believed Jesus was God's son, which most religions do, but we put God first, then Jesus, then marriage mates. And it was all about fearing God, right? And we've heard that expression. All religions pretty much use that, fear God, not because, and they explain it this way, not because you're afraid of him, but you want to fear displeasing him. And that goes along with my earlier comments. No enlightened being would ever allow other sentient, sapient beings to worship them. I don't care who it is. That it is absolutely, to want somebody to worship you is an absolute stark contrast to enlightenment. Because if you're enlightened, you understand about self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. So that fear, and that's true, we fear, when we have fears, it blocks us, it keeps us beholden to others, whether it's God or anyone else. And so those are my couple comments on that.
I'm not seeing anyone else who would like a card.
Well, we'll start wrapping things up. Do you have any final comments, anything you want to bring out?
Well, I would just like to remind everybody about the importance of life. And I'd like to, if I can, just take a moment and share a recent event that happened in my life and my oldest daughter, who's going on 40. She had an anaphylactic shock last Saturday night, and we nearly lost her. And it's a bit of a story, but she disclosed to me that moment of in between the worlds, that place where you know you're going to die. And you release to that, and you let that happen because it's out of your control. And it brought a whole new set of priorities, a whole new vision, and a whole new view for her life. And it was a very wonderful conversation that we had, because I've seen that place for myself. But what it did, bottom line, is priorities. You're here now, you're here today, and whatever your situation, whoever you're with, look around, experience that to the fullness that you possibly can, and to the fullest, and appreciate life, and appreciate the important things, which is people. That's what I would like to close the show with tonight.
Yeah, those are good points. I appreciate that. So I want to make a couple of comments, too, about next week and possibly the week after. We've got this Hurricane Irma coming this way, and I don't know yet to what extent we're going to get hit. Right now, it's looking pretty favorable for the west coast of Florida to not get the brunt of it. We'll see what the next couple of days brings out. But what the point is that if we do get it, we could lose power, we could lose internet, and it could last for a week or two. So we're not going to have a program next Wednesday. And possibly the following Wednesday. I'm going to just have to watch the website if you want to know. And, of course, I will continue to send out the newsletter each Wednesday if we're going to have a program. But I'll post it on the website. So at least next week, possibly 2 weeks, that we won't have a program. We'll just see how things go. If everything... it's hard to schedule, you know, at this point because I don't know. So I can't say, well, I'm just going to not have one next week. That way nobody will be confused. But the week following, just look for the website. We will keep you updated. Anyway, I'd like to thank everyone for the time tonight. We appreciate you being here in the live chat. Also appreciate those listening to the archives. And thanks to Dr. Hunter for being here. And thanks to Michael for helping us. Until next time. Listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.